It's Inside Ouch. I'm Damon Rose. With me is Kathleen Hawkins.
Hello.
And on the line from Ireland is Emma Tracy. Do you remember her?
Oh, Emma.
Hello.
Hello,
oh,
Emma.
What a lovely surprise.
Emma's on maternity leave, so possibly calling you up as we've done like this to join in with this podcast. I'm thinking it might be a disciplinary offence or something.
I think they call them keeping in touch days.
Oh, okay.
Is the official name for days when someone in maternity leave comes in to work.
Oh,
but
nice.
No, I'm really pleased to be asked. I'm totally out of the disability loop, but maybe that's not a bad thing.
Out of the disability loop, should we hang up on her now? We're going to talk about fitness in a minute. We've got a good article up on the site at the moment from Kate Ansell all about fitness and how she goes about it and measures it, which is really interesting. So we're coming on to that in a minute. But Emma, you're visually impaired. This is for people who've never heard you before.
I'm blind.
You're
Damon.
Blind as well.
You guys worked together for quite a long time. I think you should know that, Damon.
And you've just had a baby. Tell
I
us
have.
All about it.
Well,
you got 2 minutes.
His name, I will tell you his name. His name is Tadhg, which is an Irish name, and it's T-A-D-H-G. And the interesting thing about that is that I dictate all my messages and correspondence on my iPhone, and I just speak everything. And it is the least easy name to dictate in the world. So I actually can't do it. I have to stop what I'm saying, write in the name, and then continue. So he gets called the baby.
So how does that work? So you say Tadhg into Siri, and what happens?
It says Pike or Tide or
Tiger.
Whatever it feels like,
no.
But never Tadhg. Never Tadhg.
Don't tell him Pike. So, yeah. That was my dad's army thing.
So he gets called the baby a lot. He's 16 weeks old on Sunday. Can you believe it?
Wow. Has it been that long?
So you're
well into it now. So he's about 4 months old. So how have the first 4 months been?
I'm not going to lie. Hard. And not in the ways that I was expecting. As a blind mum, I thought that nappy changing, feeding, bathing, walking around, all that would all be my biggest challenges. They are easy as pie once you get the hang of them. Although I did watch the drama about the disabled couple on BBC Three that struggled to keep their child.
Yeah.
And there was a great piece where they were being observed in the hospital looking after their little baby. And the guy in it was visually impaired and he slipped on a wet floor while trying to bath the baba. And he said, you know, you can't look at me in this environment. It's not going to give you an accurate idea of how I do things. And that really struck a chord with me because really, the biggest thing and the most important thing for me is to be very organized, which doesn't come naturally, really, to have everything in its place and to know the amount of floor space I have, where the changing mat is, as in where the head is, where the foot of it is, how far along it is, the bath the same way, how far am I from the taps. I need to know all of that really quickly and really easily to get it done in any sort of efficient way at all.
So how about feeding and taking him out for a walk into the unknown?
I'll start with feeding. I breastfeed exclusively. He won't actually take a bottle now, so I'm sort of stuck with that for the moment, even though I'd quite like to give him a couple of bottles at this point. But I wasn't consistent with giving him a bottle at the beginning. So now he knows which side his bread is buttered on, basically, and he won't take it.
And it's that easy because I hear a lot of visually impaired mum talking about how latching on, which you can explain for me in a minute, is a bit of an issue if you can't see baby.
I cannot see how that is an issue. But with you not seeing baby, I think it's an issue for a lot of mums because babies haven't learned how to breastfeed before they're born and mums haven't learned either. So it's a learning process from the very beginning. It's a very, nobody knows what they're doing. Neither party knows what they're doing. So it's about placing baby in the right place. And latching is basically baby getting his or her mouth around the where the milk comes from, basically, your breast.
You're trying, this
you
is
can
a
say
BBC
nipple,
interpretation.
The nipple. Do you know what? There are research for and against baby brain, but I do believe I have it because I couldn't think of the word. I was trying not to say it. I was actually couldn't think of the word.
We thought that you thought nipple wouldn't get past compliance.
Nipple, 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 nipple. No, it's fine.
She's a real mother now.
Well, yeah, so that's the latching is hard, but it's nothing to do with being blind or sighted, I don't believe. I got a lot of help early on. I ended up being in the hospital for 5 days, so I got help there. And then when I came home, I had my mom and my husband, and they would actually come and latch the baby stick the baby's head in the right place for a while. The most challenging thing about feeding for me is based on my own hang-ups, and it's feeding in public and doing it so that I don't flash my nipple. So I have a little cover that I use. And I think if I was sighted, I think I'd be a lot more brazen about it.
Why?
Well, because I'd maybe feel that I was better able to cover up in an emergency, because babies come off. So they could be feeding and they could just decide that they want to look around them, or that they've had enough, or in Tyke's case, he has wind and he needs to sort himself out, or I need to sort him out. But on the other side of it, and something I said when I was pregnant a lot, was people look at me enough anyway. So people look at me as a person with my dog feeling around a table in a cafe for my tea, or whatever I happen to be doing. So actually, in fairness, breastfeeding shouldn't bother me. But I think I am a little bit sort of concerned about flashing my nipples. But I still do it. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
So tell us more about going out and about. How are you getting on with that?
Not very well. Again, it was, I can get out and about with other people fine, because and they push the buggy and I go with them, and that's easy peasy. I can carry him absolutely fine, no problem. I'm finding slings and carriers a challenge, although I am getting better with them. I sort of thought that would be easy. That's the strange thing. I thought that would be a really easy thing to get my head around. So now I've started using a structured carrier, and my mom did it really successfully this morning, of course, not me, my mother. And he fell asleep for an hour in it. But I am finding them a challenge. And I bought a buggy that you can pull. It's available to do that. But I haven't had the guts to take my tiny little boy out and pull him behind me.
It's so much to think about, though, isn't it, with the guide dog and a baby that is so small.
It is. And I took him out in the sling when he was very, very, very young. And I may still have been on a lot of medication, because I don't know how I had the guts to do it at the time. But I took Tig out in the sling, and I found myself walking along. Verona, my guide dog, is really gentle. She's 8, and she's always been a very, very docile dog. So I wasn't worried about her at all. And we were walking along, and I found myself going, good boy, good girl, good boy, good girl, good boy, good girl. And I went to the bakery, my very first outing with Tig and Verona. And I went to our local bakery, and I chose, you know, a couple of sandwiches, a couple of cakes. I'm very, very proud of myself. And then I went to pay, and I hadn't brought my purse, because I haven't figured out how to carry my handbag and the slings and carriers at the same time. So I just brought my card, and it was the wrong card.
Oh, after all
that. It was the wrong card. So they wouldn't let me. They said, will we keep the stuff? And I just hadn't the heart to walk all the way home for my card and go all the way back. So I was very proud of myself for getting there and getting back, but I was absolutely sick at not getting my baked goods, I can tell
you. So the big fear is about keeping baby safe whilst also keeping yourself safe at the same time.
Yes, in all aspects of everything. In taking him out and about, in bathing him. I have a really cheap support that looks a bit like a sun lounger that I pop him on, and I just have to keep my hand on him while I'm bathing him, and that's fine in my own house, my own bath. Thermometers, I don't know if there's an accessible water temperature thermometer, but I don't use one because I know myself, you know, it's easy enough to know when the water is too hot or too cold. And in terms of actual taking his temperature, I do have a talking digital thermometer, but it's not hugely accurate. But again, you know yourself, you really do know if he has a temperature or not. You know in your gut, I think. But because he's had so many trapped wind issues, I've been administering all types of concoctions and things to try and help him. And my mother has sort of been my occupational therapist. So when you administer some medication, because I'm breastfeeding, I usually have to do it in a syringe. A lot of people would just pop a lot of things in the bottle and that'd be fine. You just mix it up with the formula and you wouldn't taste it. But I have to give it as a syringe. And my mom has been cutting little nicks into syringes for me at the point where I need to pull the inner piece out to get to the right measurement for the medication. So I've got one that's sort of 0.4 of a mil, so it's a tiny syringe, and she's cut it at 0.4, and that's been a huge help. I've found that I've had to learn to do a lot of things differently with the baby. Like, you know, you realize I realize now how much I use my two hands for things because I can't see. So I'll check with one hand and do with the other. Whereas now it's a two-step process, check with one hand and do with the same hand because you've got a baby in the other hand. Mm. There's a lot of refiguring out how you're going to do that. And that's been interesting because that's not something anyone really told me about. I don't know if you've noticed that, Damon, when you had kids when they were little ones.
What I was going to say was that we did a lot of looking around at reviews from disabled parents on the Rickability website, or do we say Rikability? Riker website, which was really good for product reviews with disabled parents in mind.
I haven't even gone near that website. I didn't even realise that was a thing I could do. And having worked on a disability website for 9 years, but you know, whatever. I've had a lot of support from Blind Mums Connect, which is a support group for blind parents, as the name would suggest. And they do Skype calls for different areas of parenting every week or two. They have a Facebook group, they have an email list, and they also will just help you and call you if you need it. And I found them a huge, huge help and just support, I think, just people, kindred spirits, people in similar positions, you know, and that's really been great.
To feel as though that support's out there.
I'm not sure I would be where I am now if I hadn't had so much help.
Mm. So your top tip then for being a blind mum?
Get someone to cut a little nick in the syringe so that you can administer the medication yourself.
Oh, very important. Things like Calpol. Brilliant.
Oh, it sounds like you're doing great, Emma.
Nice. Why, thank you, Kathleen.
We were going to talk about fitness as well. We've got to get it all in.
In true Daily Mail style. How are you losing that baby weight, Emma?
Got to get it in before the end of the podcast now. Yeah, how are you losing the baby weight, Emma?
I didn't put on much weight when I was pregnant, but genuinely the dancing around with him, walking around with him, jigging him up and down, trying to get the wind up all the time is hugely helpful. Breastfeeding is hugely helpful. Mm. And I'm actually wheat and dairy free at the moment, trying to get him to feel a bit better.
Course.
So I actually have a really good diet as well.
So my fitness regime over the last year, people in the office will have seen that I'm wearing a step counter device around my wrist, which you can connect with your mobile phone and track how fit you are. And one of the great aspects of this is that you can become friends with people on it and sort of rate how you're doing against them. Now, on Ouch Today, we have put up an article by Kate Ansell, who has cerebral palsy and has been writing about her fitness and the fact that she's got a similar device. And I thought it would be a good idea to make friends with Kate because I'm at the bottom of my league table. All my friends beat me massively. I'm friends, for instance, with William Marger from the See Here team, who does about 81,000 steps a week. And I think 10,000 is the daily target you're supposed to go to. I've set myself a target of 6,000 every day. But Kate Ansell, I thought, having cerebral palsy, I thought, I'll easy beat her. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. But no, I'm really disappointed because at the moment she's 32,000 steps ahead of me this week.
Wow.
I'm languishing at about 23,000.
Shouldn't have underestimated Kate, should you?
So don't underestimate disabled people.
We have quite sedentary jobs though, don't we? We sit in the office for quite a long time, so there's only a small part of our day where we can do those 10,000 steps.
But one of the interesting things about it is Kate was talking about how the fact she has a very unusual walk, which means that she burns an awful lot of energy just by a bit of simple walking. And that's something you've been talking about, that, haven't you, Kathleen?
Yeah, with two prosthetic legs, two below knee prosthetic legs, you apparently use 200%, well, so 100% more energy. So I use double the amount of energy that people with legs use. Just to walk around. But actually, I noticed, so I've got these new legs that I'm sure you're all bored about hearing if you've been checking out Inside Ouch. But I think I've put on weight since getting these legs because the ankles move a lot more. So actually, I'm not having to do as much to walk.
Interesting.
Because they are giving me a little bit more natural movement. And I have put on a lot of weight over the last month or so.
And so you hadn't accounted for that. You assumed you'd be burning at this normal sort of rate.
Yeah.
And you've been eating the normal amount of food that you normally eat.
Yeah, I have noticed, and the scales have noticed, that I have definitely put on weight.
Oh dear.
And that's the only thing that I can really attribute it to.
What are you going to do about
you're
it?
You're lucky you don't have talking whales. You're lucky you don't have talking wayne scales, Kathleen, because you can hear them all over the house.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when you touch them, and you touch them, they go hello, yeah. and then you you stand on them, and they say your weight is.
Oh,
and at that point,
no.
I usually flush the loo or put the shower on or try and do something really loud so that everybody can't hear.
Yeah, my wife won't step on our scales because they broadcast it to the house, unfortunately.
So what am I going to do about it? I'm not sure. I do exercise. I like exercising. I run and I've been doing quite a lot of dancing recently, which is no mean feat with two prosthetic legs.
Mm.
So I'm dancing to my own rhythm. So I'm going to have to take up some more exercise, I guess, or cut down on the amount of food. I'm not overweight. Mm,
did you have some of the cake that was being passed around the office yesterday?
I didn't, actually. No. But not because I'm determined to lose weight, just because I didn't fancy it. I just had my lunch, which included cake.
I was just going to say lunch and then cake is absolutely fine.
Okay, well, that's it, I think, for Inside Ouch this week. Next week, we've got the monthly talk show, which has a theme of Japan. That's presented by Kate Monahan. That's this time next week. If you want to get in touch, tweet at BBC Ouch. That's at BBC Ouch, or email ouch at bbc.co.uk. What a load of alphabet soup. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.